This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Let's watch one more clip here. This is his wife is in the room, and the investigator comes back in, and he's just completely flabbergasted at what's going on. Let's take another look.
I don't know how to explain something that isn't possible. But I know, this is what I do know. I know that no bullet from my gun was connected with a murder in any way, shape, or form. And there's no way a bullet from my gun would have been near Abby and Libby's murder or anything else, because I never even seen those girls. Period. And I didn't even have my gun that day. So that's what I'm trying to say. I don't know how to make that any clearer. I don't know how to make somebody understand. I get what he's saying. I don't have a way to explain it.
And they're like, there's a witness that said it was you out there.
Dear, I don't
know what... Like, how did they know it was you? And so they said they showed her a picture. And I'm like, of course you were out there.
If they seen me out there, they seen me out there, dear. And I told them...
Were you on the bridge?
I told them I was on the bridge. I went out to the first trestle.
Oh, okay.
That first thing...
I don't remember you telling me that. You told me... So I told him you weren't on it, but I didn't.
It doesn't, hon, you're not in any trouble. You didn't do anything. I didn't do anything.
Tell him, right?
Huh?
I didn't know you were on it. I'm sorry.
Well, don't worry about it.
You told me you weren't, so I just was.
No, I told you that I walked.
What do you make out of that, husband and wife trying to... She's trying to understand what the hell's going on. He's trying to plead his case, and there's a bit of a miscommunication there of a conversation that happened 6 years ago of, you didn't tell me you went out on the bridge. He's like, no, I told you, and he's just seems frustrated at that point because, again, it just seems like it's going to look bad to the investigators, but in reality, 6 years ago, they talked about, what did you do?
So I want everyone to approach this from a 30,000-foot level.
Yeah.
Think about all the cases we've covered, Tony, or all the cases out there. Every time you have someone either committed a murder, who actually tried to murder someone, or even just a thief, just someone doing wrong in life, all of their focus is on themselves.
Mm-hmm.
How it impacts them. That's what unhealthy people do. They're unhealthily unbalanced to self, and they have disregard for others. That creates unhealthy relationships, and then if it reaches escalations of self-centeredness and violence, and that's what we see in every single case we've covered. It's an unhealthy unbalance of looking at self and what it means to me. Every single case. Every time you hear and see Richard and his wife communicate, it's always about the other person.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry about it, honey. You didn't do anything wrong. And she's worried about him. In other words, what we're witnessing in that very, very short clip is two people in love in a healthy relationship. Mm-hmm. And that's just one data point, because we have others with the jail room, the jailhouse calls and everything else. His entire communication, every single time he's communicating with people in his life, his relationships, it's always about concern for them. Have you ever heard Lori Daybell Vallow doing that? Have you ever heard Alec Murdoch doing that? It's always about me, I. And so those are unhealthy people. This is a healthy person in a healthy relationship. Again, we all have problems and issues with marriages, but this is healthy people don't murder people.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the answer to that. I want to throw this theory out before we go to some of the jail phone calls, because I find it interesting. There was no mention of the bullet in the initial interview with him. That comes up the second time after they go into his house and they seize his weapons and really, they find nothing else. There's no digital footprint. There's nothing. They have no evidence on this guy being there. The only thing they initially had was the bridge guy photo that is 1,000% questionable and really doesn't look a whole lot like Rick Allen. The guy is taller in the video. And so they realize that's all they have. And I think they realize that video is not going to put anybody away, especially when you also have other experts saying it's another person. They got the gun. They know they have this one bullet in evidence. Oh, looky here. It fits this gun. Well, how easy would it be to not spend the bullet, because you don't need to, rack it through the gun, and then take another bullet, for example, and rack it through the gun and go, look, this one from evidence looks just like this other one we racked through it just to compare. It's conspiratorial. It's planting, it's making up evidence. But I wouldn't be 1,000% surprised if that's what happened, and that's how that bullet in evidence has the markings, which aren't that accurate or solid, of Rick Allen's gun.
I've only heard of bullet casings in cases, not bullets themselves. I didn't do this area 100%
sure.
for my focus in the Bureau, but I've never heard of just a bullet. It just, the whole thing's just befuddling. I don't get it.
I don't, but I'm wondering if that, because that's the only thing that they have on him. There's no other evidence. And that's flimsy evidence.
And the other thing behaviorally I want to highlight too is, so if you notice during every interview of him, even when they're asking him about his cell phone, where do you have it? He had it right in front of him.
No.
He didn't try to hide it.
No, he said, here's the code, whatever you need. I'll go look for the other one.
And so think about this. This is the behavior. So I'm so used to seeing behaviors of people that are trying to hide things. I mean, even ask yourself this: if one of you out there listening or paying attention to this, you know, you have something you're trying not to let, you know, people in your family find out about, maybe on your cell phone or anything else. What do you try to do? You keep it out of sight, man. Mm-hmm. Nope, he's got it right there. I don't care, because again, he is acting with full utmost transparency.
Yeah.
People that have done something wrong don't do that.
Yeah.
They hide things, even whether they think there's anything on that phone or not. It's like they think they're mine. Maybe I do have something. Maybe they might be able to track it. Let me just put this thing away just in case you want to look at it.
And he's not a dumb guy. It's not like he wouldn't. If he thought he had something that they were going after him initially, you'd probably want to get an attorney involved. But he's there because he thinks he's just doing his public duty. And
at the same time, and I know he's been through sequences of phones and from there, that interview. But at the same time, he doesn't seem to be technologically up on things.
Yeah.
And so who's to say he wouldn't have in the back of his mind that the data, because they even asked him, you know, did you transfer all your data for this one to that one? He goes, my contacts, maybe. I mean, so
he doesn't know. It's like, I don't know what you're going to find, but you're not going to find anything of me being there. So take it and look.
I've never seen a worse case. I really haven't.
So they put him through all that. They eventually arrest him at the end of that interview. And then he goes to prison. To solitary confinement, because they got to get that confession out of him. Because he didn't give it to him then. This is an early call while he was behind bars. We're going to hear a slow progression of him going from sounding like he was a competent, normal guy, CVS pharmacy tech, dad, husband. He's still kind of there. He's starting to break. And this is one of the last competent phone calls he had with his wife. Let's take a listen.
You just know that if anything happens, I'll see you in the next lifetime. I swear I will, okay? Okay. You take care of the family for me. I love you all.
I love you too, sweetheart.
Okay. Bye-bye. It's good to hear your voice.
I love you too, sweetheart.
Okay. It's good to cut us off here.
Okay. I love you. Okay.
I love you.
I love you, honey.
I love you. I'll hold on.
Thank you for using GTL. This is a prepaid debit
card. I love you too much.
There's a little bit more from that call.
And every time I talk to you, I feel like it's going to be the last time I get to talk to you.
I know. I wish I could hug you.
I can't explain what's been going on.
No.
I don't want you to worry about me.
Yeah.
I'm a man and I'll take care of myself, but I'm worried about you. All I do is worry about you. So, and you let everybody else know how much I love both you.
You can hang in there, honey, okay?
Huh?
You need to just hang in there, because they're going to get you an attorney soon, okay?
Will you just let everybody know how much I love?
Of course I will. They already know, hon.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do.
Nobody loves me anymore.
Stop. That's not true.
I know. I'm sorry.
Not true. Okay.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
I know what you told me. I know what you told me, and I believe you.
Yes.
I just, knowing I'm never going to see you again, or at least it feels that way. I'm just saying, I think it's too hard. Just tell them to come and get me, and bring me to see you, and I'll tell them whatever they want me to say.
No. Okay.
I don't need you to try and be strong for me. Okay? You need to be weak. You need to be held. You take care of yourself, okay?
Again, he's not making it about him at all. It's about
never.
How can I be... I'll tell them whatever they want me to say for
to make
you.
Your pain go away.
Yeah.
And every other... Again, I don't have as much data points as many other people do, but I have never heard a jailhouse call from someone who is guilty sound like that.
No.
You hear, I need more commissary money. Mm-hmm. Oh, the conditions are bad. They're not treating me good. You know, the food's bad. They're putting me in solitary.
Yeah.
Not one statement in there was about him and the impact on him. It was her, the family. The only thing that was about him is that no one loves him anymore.
Yeah.
Massive. So think about this. You can hear and feel the massive, massive empathy and compassion he has for other human beings. That's not what murders little girls. Again, we're looking for behavior arcs and congruence. And because he's got no prior arrests, he's got no prior record, he's got no criminal history, he's got no history of violence, he's got healthy people in his life. So in other words, murdering two little girls is a massive deviation from just data points alone. And now you have an emotional major deviation that would be as well, because his compassion for other people, you can hear it, you can experience it, is spite. And even when you heard him talking in another conversation about his daughter, about his son-in-law, you hear and feel the emotion he has towards other human beings.
Yeah.
He's in a service industry where he's a pharmacy tech. That's about service to other human beings. It's completely incongruent with the charges. It's completely incongruent with him. Now, granted, data points, suspect, on the bridge, same time period. So we take a look. But they totally, 100% ignored everyone else, and they didn't interview him. They accused him from the get-go and tried to force him, as they eventually did, into doing it, which he did to save others, to save his wife.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now, and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.